It is Tuesday, October 11th, and this is VOA's International Edition. I'm Sarah Williams in Washington. Coming up, Republican presidential candidate Donald Trump attacks Speaker of the House Paul Ryan for abandoning him, but concedes his campaign is faltering.
The Trump campaign has been such a disaster, and Trump has been such an obviously dangerous candidate that he is about to snatch defeat from the jaws of victory.
The death toll continues to grow in Haiti following Hurricane Matthew, and singer Bruno Mars celebrates his birthday by releasing a new single. It's all ahead. U.S. Republican presidential candidate Donald Trump blasted the party's top elected official for abandoning his campaign while acknowledging that his run for the White House is struggling. Trump posted on Twitter that House of Representatives Speaker Paul Ryan is a very weak and ineffective leader after Ryan told other Republicans Monday he would no longer campaign for Trump or defend his offensive comments that have turned voters against the real estate mogul. Ryan made the decision after a 2005 tape surfaced last week in which Trump made crude comments about women and said he could grope them at will because he's a celebrity. An NBC Wall Street Journal poll taken after the tape was released saw Trump's Democratic rival Hillary Clinton surging to a 46-35% advantage. Alan Lichtman is professor of history at American University. He spoke to me about Trump's struggling campaign.
The Trump campaign is its own worst enemy. This should be a year based on historical patterns, as gauged by my system, the keys to the White House, that the American people change course and elect a new party to govern. However, the Trump campaign has been such a disaster, and Trump has been such an obviously dangerous candidate that he is about to snatch defeat from the jaws of victory. Trump has imposed his own self-inflicted wound. Instead of calming down the doubts that people have had about his candidacy, he has instead inflamed them time and time again. Rather than showing contrition for a video in which he was 59 years old, in which he bragged about committing the crime of sexual assault, he dismissed it as locker room banter. This is an insult to every woman who has suffered unwanted sexual advances or fears it. It is an insult to every decent man in America. In addition, he has demeaned Hispanics, African Americans, the disabled, Muslims. Those who keep track of these things in campaigns show that his lies are so great that it's almost impossible to keep track of them. It was 6-1 compared to Hillary Clinton in the most recent debate. And so Trump has defeated himself, and Paul Ryan's withdrawal is simply a recognition of that.
One of the other things that he said on Twitter, basically, he says something about the shackles have been taken off. He can now fight for America the way he wants to. And he said Democrats have always proven to be far more loyal to each other than the Republicans. It's kind of a strange thing for a Republican candidate to say.
Well, Trump is not really a Republican. Trump is only Trump. And throughout his life, Trump has only been for Trump. He's the only candidate we've ever seen who has enriched himself at the expense of others without any record of public service. Even his claims about giving to charity have been thoroughly debunked. You know, he attacked Warren Buffett in the debate. Warren Buffett has given billions to charity. Donald Trump, with his own money, has given a mere pittance. Donald Trump is also running an enormous con that the pundits have yet to uncover. He claims to be the anti-establishment candidate, the outsider who will shake up Washington. In fact, Trump is the establishment because only part of the establishment are the politicians in Washington. The other part, and the vastly stronger part, are the wealthy special interests that manipulate the political system to their own end. And Trump is the poster child for that part of the establishment that is most powerful, that manipulates the laws and the regulations to enrich themselves. His whole history is one of getting rich by working the establishment, by getting special tax breaks and concessions that nobody else gets. He got them in New York, he got them in Florida, he got them in New Jersey.
How will the Republican Party recover from this?
Well, I think the Republican Party can recover from this. You know, the party is stronger than any individual. The Republican Party recovered from the debacle of Barry Goldwater, a very different kind of candidate than Donald Trump, but one who lost by 20 points because he was perceived as too radical, too extreme on the right. But it took a long time for the Republican Party to recover, you know, well more than a decade, and it gave the Democrats under Lyndon Johnson an opportunity to enact a very powerful progressive agenda. So parties are resilient, but in the long term, presuming Donald Trump loses, this is going to be a very serious blow to the Republican Party.
That's American University history professor Alan Lichtman. Well, joining me here in the studio is social media editor Andrew Pelshevsky. So, Andrew, I'm sure there's continuing reaction on social media to the election.
I don't think it's going to cease for the next 28 days until the election. I think it's only going to grow. And to that point, we actually have new numbers coming in about social media during the debate this past week. And this one I found astounding. 51% of registered voters that were surveyed, so more than half the people that watched the debate, consumed information about the debate on social media. So a majority of Americans who are registered to vote using social media to get their information. And on those social media networks, particularly Facebook and Twitter, Donald Trump, perhaps not surprisingly, dominated the conversation. Nearly three quarters of the conversations on Facebook were about Trump and about two thirds on Twitter, with some of the top moments being Trump's dismissal of Mike Pence on the position on Syria, Trump saying that he would put Hillary Clinton in jail, and then a moment when Donald Trump allowed Hillary Clinton to answer a question first. He said, "No, I'm a gentleman, Hillary, go ahead." A lot of people talking about that moment. But outside of politics, we also have today trending the hashtag International Day of the Girl. This is a day marked by the United Nations to honor the world's 1.1 billion girls and highlight issues including education, protection from abuse, equal opportunity. We're also seeing other hashtags trending alongside this, like hashtag End Child Marriage, for example, a lot of issues that girls deal with around the world. And First Lady Michelle Obama, this has been something that she's been very passionate about as her time in the White House with the Let Girls Learn program. And so she tweeted out earlier today, she said, "Change happens when a father realizes the potential of his daughters. That's when stereotypes change." And using hashtag Day of the Girl. Some people speculating that might have something to do with Donald Trump's comments earlier in the week. But also, like we said, this has been an issue that she's been very passionate about, and she is showing that on social media.
Yeah, and I believe there was Save the Children released a report about child marriage. So this is something that I think the world is looking at, this whole issue.
Absolutely.
All right, well, thanks very much, Andrew. That's social media editor Andrew Pelshevsky. Here are some of the top stories trending. Gunmen attack a Shiite shrine in Kabul as hundreds gather for a religious ceremony. Russian President Vladimir Putin will not meet with French President François Hollande for Syria-only talks. Amnesty International joins critics of Pakistan's travel ban on a leading journalist. And U.S. First Lady Michelle Obama issues a global appeal to support education for girls. Expanded coverage of these stories and more are on the voanews.com website. This is VOA.
This is Science in a Minute.
Astronomers have spotted super hot blobs of plasma blasting into space like cannonballs near a dying red giant star some 1,200 light years away. The scientists found that the balls of hot gas fly so fast that if astronauts went at their speed, a trip from the Earth to the Moon would only take 30 minutes. It's estimated that one of these cosmic artillery blasts has taken place every 8.5 years for at least the past 400 years. Hubble Space Telescope data revealed a sequence of these giant gas balls that date back to 1986. The plasma ball's temperature is thought to be more than 9,500 degrees Celsius, which is about twice as hot as the surface of the sun. Scientists think that the plasma balls are being ejected by a nearby and unseen companion to the dying star. I'm VOA's Rick Pantaleo.
This is International Edition on the Voice of America. I'm Sarah Williams. Coming up, get ready for singer Bruno Mars's latest single. The United Nations has appealed for funds for hundreds of thousands of Haitians who bore the brunt of the wrath of Hurricane Matthew that tore through the Caribbean last week. Hundreds lost their lives in Haiti alone. The massive Category 4 storm cut a wide swath of destruction across the impoverished nation, still recovering from the 2010 earthquake. Rudolf Müller is director of the Geneva-based Office for the Coordination of Humanitarian Affairs.
The government of Haiti and the humanitarian countries team Flash Appeal seeks to provide life-saving assistance and protection to 750,000 people out of 1.4 million people in need over the next 3 months. To do so, we urgently need to mobilize $119 million.
The funds are intended to provide food, drinking water, and shelter to the most vulnerable in need. The Haitian ambassador to the UN in Geneva said the population is not on its knees, but on the ground. The world's leading nonprofit U.S.-based medical aid group, AmeriCares, has provided supplies to deal with a post-storm outbreak of the waterborne disease cholera that has already claimed several lives. Its president and CEO is Michael Nienhuis, who spoke with VOA's Victor Beatty.
This is a terrible natural disaster. It is maybe not getting the attention that it deserves because of so many other things happening, but this is a bad deal for the people of Haiti. Probably the biggest natural disaster since the Nepal earthquake. And not only 1,000 people or so dead, whatever the number is going to be, but big, big risk of many more people dying of cholera and other infectious diseases. So we need a lot of attention on this.
Describe what the scene is down there.
We have a team that's sort of based out of Lakai, which is one of the hard-hit areas in the southwest of the country. But when you move west from there along the southern tip of Haiti, our team has run into communities there that are completely destroyed. The houses are gone. The health centers have been damaged or are not there. In places where we've found a hospital or a clinic, we've seen cholera patients on the floor because there's just not enough room for them.
What is AmeriCares doing specifically, and what is needed over the course of the coming days? And, of course, timing is crucial.
Timing is very crucial. AmeriCares, we are focused in the health sector. That's the work that we do, trying to build up and strengthen the capacity of the local health system to respond in a disaster like this. We are putting medicines and medical supplies on the ground. We're looking, going clinic to clinic, hospital to hospital to find out what their needs are and making sure that that we can meet those needs. We are bringing in a lot of supplies to deal with cholera patients, and we're also looking at ramping up programs we've done in Haiti in the past focused on cholera education, prevention, and treatment.
Are some of these supplies and personnel pre-located, or are these items that have to be brought in somehow?
Some of both. We have a team that was in Haiti at the time, and they all have been mobilized around this. We brought in people and supplies from the Dominican Republic. We flew in supplies and people from our base here in Connecticut. We have a major air shipment that's going out on Wednesday. We have a sea shipment that arrived today in Port-au-Prince. We are buying medicines and supplies locally and in the Dominican Republic. So really, wherever we can get our hands on the things that are needed. Our head of emergency response is in Port-au-Prince now, really called me last night with just a plea, like, we have got to get materials in here fast.
That's Michael Nienhuis of AmeriCares. He said since Haiti already has a weak health system and little infrastructure, AmeriCares' two-pronged approach includes both immediate relief and thinking in terms of strengthening these systems to cope with future natural disasters. The public can help by going to the group's website, AmeriCares.org. Well, Hurricane Matthew did have some benefit, and that is finding out about American history. The huge storm unearthed several Civil War-era cannonballs on a U.S. beach near Charleston, South Carolina. Most of the cannonballs were detonated by authorities, but some were transported to a nearby naval base. That's according to USA Today. A picture of the 16 rust-encrusted cannonballs was posted on the official Folly Beach Facebook page Sunday after the giant storm swept through the area. The first shots of the Civil War were fired from nearby Fort Sumter in 1861. During the war, both exploding and non-exploding cannonballs were used. High tides initially prevented officials from reaching the balls, but once the tide went out, bomb disposal experts from the U.S. Air Force detonated most of them. This is VOA.
Do you know the political process that determines who the next president of the United States will be? Tune in to VOA's extensive coverage of the campaigns, the voting, and the final tallying to find out how citizens choose their next president. Right here on VOA.
Hello, I'm Carol Castiel, host of VOA's Encounter. Join me and two advocates from the world of politics, public policy, or academia debating critical and controversial issues of our day, bringing depth, perspective, and insight to the world around us. That's Encounter every Saturday and Sunday on VOA.
This is International Edition. Singer Bruno Mars is releasing a new album and single. I talk with VOA Border Crossings host Larry London all about it.
First of all, happy birthday to Bruno Mars. He celebrated a birthday on October 8th, and he is celebrating in a big way. He's just released a brand new single, which is the title track, at least it is for now, from his upcoming third album, 24 Karat Magic. Bruno Mars, you may recall, about a year ago or so, performed the halftime show at the Super Bowl and had a number one song with Uptown Funk, you know, which was produced by and created by Mark Ronson, but spent quite a few weeks at number one. Everybody loves the song Uptown Funk. And now he's back with an upcoming new album. It'll be his third album. And Bruno Mars is one of the most talented performers in the business. People love his style, love his vibe, love his voice. And this new album will feature a little bit of a change for Bruno Mars. He's going to go the route of the electronic dance music producer. He's working with Skrillex and a number of other folks, not doing as much with his backup band known as The Hooligan. So this time around, he's doing something different. But it's going to be Bruno Mars, just like you know him. So why don't we check out the new song, 24 Karat Magic.
Tonight.
This is interesting, Larry, because we've talked before about these electronic, electronic dance?
Yep, EDM, which is the new craze, Skrillex and Afrojack and Calvin Harris and David Guetta, and the list goes on and on. All of these DJ-type producers are creating music that is just dominating the pop scene right now.
Why is it so popular?
Well, I asked Flume that. He's an Australian electronic dance music producer who's been nominated for 11 Australian Recording Industry Association Awards. And what he said was, it's the beat, it's the vibe, it's the feel in the music. It's a lot of energy. And that's what people love, especially when they see an EDM producer live in a concert. It's that energy and the vibe that they bring to the music that they work with.
But then poor Bruno Mars' band. They must feel a bit neglected.
Well, I'm sure they're at home counting their money because the first two albums did very, very well. And I would assume that they're going to go on tour with him as well when he announces his tour, probably in 2017. But right now, he's enjoying the new single. A lot of people have been waiting several years for the new single. 2014 was the big year. He won some Grammys. He won 4 Grammys in all. He's had 5 number one songs go to the top of the charts faster than any other artist. He beat his own idol, Elvis Presley. Here's a little known fact that Bruno Mars, who grew up in Hawaii, his parents own an Elvis memorabilia store in Hawaii. They still own it to this day. And there was a time when he was 4 and 5 years old, 6 years old. He was called the youngest Elvis impersonator. In fact, he played a little Elvis in the movie Leaving Las Vegas with Nicolas Cage.
I was just going to ask you, did he go to Las Vegas at that time?
Yes. And you know what? It's ironic how things go full cycle because he's just signed a deal with MGM International. He's going back to Las Vegas because he's going to be the headliner for a while as the regular house performer at the MGM Grand in Las Vegas. But he's going to do other MGM properties. For example, he's performing at the end of this year in Maryland. He's doing several shows at the MGM property here in Maryland, and then it's back to Las Vegas. So he's all over the place, but his music is great, and I really am excited, because I'm a fan myself, for the new single, 24 Karat Magic.
Sounds like he's doing really well.
He's doing well. Continues to do well.
Thanks very much, Larry. That's Larry London, the host of VOA's Border Crossings. Bring her to the moon. Girls, what y'all trying to do? 24 Karat Magic in the air. Head to toe so clear. Look out. And that is 24 Karat Magic by Bruno Mars. And that is also our show for today. Please remember to visit our website at voanews.com. There are a lot of stories there you can catch up on and a lot about the election. I'm Sarah Williams. Thanks so much for joining us.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
In a very close vote, Colombians voted down a peace accord aimed at ending a 52-year guerrilla war with the Marxist rebel group known as the FARC. The no vote edged out the yes vote by 0.5% of the vote, with 37% of eligible voters going to the polls. Many no voters expressed concern over the peace agreement's provisions on justice for conflict-related crimes. The United States commends the Colombian government and people of Colombia for the democratic process and recognizes that difficult decisions lie ahead. President Juan Manuel Santos, FARC leader Rodrigo Londano, and opposition leader Alvaro Uribe have all indicated their commitment to achieve peace and to engage in an inclusive national dialogue. Colombians have expressed their commitment to settle their differences through institutions and dialogue rather than violence. Indeed, both President Santos and FARC leader Londano have agreed to keep the ceasefire in place. White House spokesperson Josh Earnest said the voice of the Colombian people must be taken into account. We hope that all sides will continue to be focused on the goal of a negotiated peace, and we want to encourage them to continue to pursue that path. But it's also important for them to be acting consistent with the promises that they've made to the Colombian people. Colombia can count on the support of the United States as it continues to seek democratic peace and prosperity for all Colombians. The U.S. supports President Santos's proposal for a broad dialogue as the next step toward a just and lasting peace.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government. If you have a comment, please write to Editorials, VOA, Washington, D.C., 20237, USA. You may also comment and view all our current editorials at the VOA Editorials homepage, voanews.com/editorials.
Democracy in action. That's what the U.S. presidential election is all about. Who's going to be the new president of the United States come November 8th? Tune in to VOA's coverage of the 2016 presidential election. reports, expert analysis, and more. Professional, up-to-the-minute coverage that can't be found anywhere else. Right here on VOA.